This whole month we've been talking about you are not alone. So I'm not sure how many of you have ever felt alone. You're in this all alone. There's nobody that can relate to you, to your pain, to your anguish, to your, you know, whatever circumstances you're going through. You feel alone. Listen, you are not alone. We find in Scripture that Jesus said, if you're a believer in Christ, Jesus himself said, I'm going to send someone to you. I'm going to send someone to you, and he's not going to leave because Jesus says he'll be with you forever if you're a believer in Christ. And so it's a great thing to know that Jesus is making sure that every believer knows. So either you're going to discover for the first time or be reminded this month, you are not, if you feel alone, remind yourself, I am not alone. I may feel like it, it may look like it, but I am not alone. Holy Spirit, you are dwelling within me, and I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you haven't, then continue to ask and seek and knock and ask the Lord to fill you overflowing with more of what he has for you. But don't feel like you are alone. And I know that it's easier said than done, Pastor. You don't know what I've gone through. You don't know the pain I've been through. Yes, I don't know, but I know what Jesus says. And so if you say that you feel like you're alone, I want to remind you or tell you for the first time or remind you, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. And it was important for him to go so that he can send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, we find out that he's an advocate, means that he's always by you. He's a comforter. Jesus says, I'll never leave you comfortless, which we're going to kind of briefly go over, but I mentioned that last week. That word comfortless in some of the translations says as orphans. So he's not going to leave you without. That's a great thing. Jesus is not going to leave you without. And so I have a word that I want to start off tonight, and the word is enable. Enable means to give someone or something the authority or means to do something. This is what Jesus wanted us. This is the reason why he wanted to give us Holy Spirit. Because of Holy Spirit, we are now enabled to walk as Christ walked. We are enabled to walk in the authority and the power that God wants every son and daughter of his to walk in. And the Holy Spirit gives us, so because of the Holy Spirit, we have that ability. We've been enabled to do so. Jesus brings and gives us freedom. Freedom from sin. Sin so that we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to death. Jesus gives us new life in him. Can I hear it? Amen. Okay. He gives us new life in him to become children of righteousness and children of a heavenly Father. So while Jesus gives us freedom, Holy Spirit, my first point, Holy Spirit helps us to walk in freedom. If you go to slide one, that was the verse for our month. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18, the King James Version says, Jesus is talking, he says, and I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Now, I know that we read this scripture, and some would say, well, he was talking to the disciples. Well, he wasn't just talking to the disciples. God's word is living and powerful, and we are able to read it today, and the Lord Jesus is talking to us, because we do have the comforter as believers in Christ. So he says, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you for what? Forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. And remember, if you remember, that word know is not just to know, oh, I know about. No, to know intimate, to know closely. Not just to have a knowledge, but to have an experience. We're going to talk about that. You can know a lot about the Holy Spirit, but I want to challenge you and encourage you to ask God, God, help me to experience a day with the Holy Spirit. And so we get to know him intimately. For he, who is he? Holy Spirit. For Holy Spirit dwells with you. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, and shall be in you, but he's also talking to us. Shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John chapter 14, verse 16 through 18. So my second slide, point one, is Holy Spirit helps us to walk in freedom. He helps us to walk in freedom. John chapter 14, verse 26. It says, but the helper, it's talking about Holy Spirit. How do I know? Because it says right there, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, because the world doesn't know how to give this kind of peace. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, Holy Spirit teaches and reminds us God's truth and how to live by his truth. Some of us, we can go back maybe this last week and remember the times that the Holy Spirit reminded us of what needs to be said and what doesn't need to be said. What needs to be done and what doesn't need to be done. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to constantly teach us. He is our tutor. Shannon mentioned that the first week of this month, that he is our tutor. He teaches us, but he teaches us important things, God's truth. You see, in our obedience to Holy Spirit, we can be like that kid in the back of the classroom, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm not sure how many of you were that kid in the back of the room in the classroom, and you just always fell asleep. That kid that always caused problems. That kid that always had to go up on the chalkboard while everyone's at recess and put, "I will not talk," you know. I'm not sure how many of you were that. But God desires that we become obedient children, obedient to Holy Spirit. That when he gives us, we're going to look at that, because Holy Spirit gives us something. Okay? Holy Spirit reveals God's truth to us. And so that when the Holy Spirit gives us something, that we are obedient to receive. That whatever the Holy Spirit gives to us for us to receive, we are to apply. We are to apply. Apply to our lives. When we apply to our lives, the more we do that, the more we become efficient in righteous living. Effective in righteous living. The more we practice doing the things the Holy Spirit is giving us, we're obedient to receive, we're obedient to apply, and we are obedient. The more we do that, the more effective Christ followers we become. You see, God desires for every single one of us, young and old, to become mature followers of Christ. What does that mean? To become those that know I shouldn't do that, so I won't do that, so I'm going this way. So he wants us to become those kinds of followers of Christ where we have become mature. So when the Holy Spirit gives us, because he's helping us to walk in freedom, no longer in sin, but now in righteous living, it's because we heard what he said, and we're like, yeah, okay, yeah. And then we applied it. Okay, I'm not going over there. Okay, I'm going to shut my mouth. Okay, I am not going to confess how I feel. And then the more we do that, the more efficient or productive in righteous living we become. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." That first verse, it talks about there's a flesh and then there's a spirit. But that first verse, I am my own worst critic. And if I forget what God's word says here in verse 1, I will always make myself feel guilty. I will always look at the things that I didn't do. As I said on Wednesday, I'm doing my best, and with God's help, I'm becoming better at not being a pessimistic person. But I have to remember, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Am I coming to the Lord in repentance? Not just saying I'm sorry, but I'm doing a 180, that I did something that I shouldn't have done. I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I'm turning around and I'm going to do different the next time. True repentance, a repentive heart. You see, the more we live according to God's word and instruction, the more efficient or proficient we become as Christ followers. And yet sometimes we either accidentally or purposely act and respond as kids. It doesn't matter how old you are. I believe that there are times that you become obnoxious. There's times that you become impatient. There's times where you want your own, you know, your own way. What's that phrase? You want to have your party and eat. Have your cake and eat it too. Yeah, you want to have your cake and eat it too, right? You complain, and we end up reverting back to what children do. Now, I, in the past, have had the blessed privilege of teaching Kids Church, doing BGMC for many years, Shannon and I were youth pastors, and now for over 10 years now, we've been pastors. Doesn't even seem like that, but we've been pastors since 2009, and it is interesting to see the different age groups, and yet there is some small things that I saw and experienced in kids' church with adults. So that's why I say I believe there are times in our lives that we revert back to being immature. I want what I want, you know, and so much like this morning, I'm not going to say it, but just this morning, people, grown-ups especially, don't like change. I mean, this morning was a great example, but I'm not going to get into it. But people don't like change. And we revert to a complaint or, I don't like it, you know. But you know what? That's just something that we do. We have to understand that we ought to become mature followers of Christ. Therefore, again, being efficient at what the Holy Spirit says we receive, we apply, ask God to forgive us. Yeah, that's important. Ask God to forgive us and then apply to our lives. And the more we do it, man, the more, I'm so glad that I am not where I was. October 14th, 1994 is when I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I turned over a new leaf. God gave me a new life. October 4th, October 5th, I'm so glad, Shannon could be glad too, that I am not the same as I was on October 15th of who I am today. And God desires that we mature in faith and we become effective followers of Christ. God knew that you were going to be the kind of person you are today. That is why he sent the Holy Spirit. God knew that we would need teaching. God knew that we would need correcting. God knew that we would need reminding in our spiritual walk with him. Therefore, he sends Holy Spirit to teach us, to train us in righteous living. No one gets to where God wants them to be on their own. Can I hear an amen? So Holy Spirit helps us to walk in freedom of no longer feeling, oh, down and out, oh, I messed up, I'll never. You know, I've had thoughts in my mind of throwing in the towel and saying, forget this stuff. And then all of a sudden, I just had this flashback or this thought in my mind of a scripture or of experience or the life that I used to live and what I was then and who I am and who I can be in Christ. And I just didn't go there anymore. I just went back to, man, thank you, Jesus. I have victory in him. Psalm 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You see, he's our light. He's our source of strength or ability to live for him. You ever get in a crowd or in a group and there's somebody constantly who always puts themselves down, who doesn't look at themselves as who they can be or who they really are? They just look at the bad side of who they are. And it almost sometimes seems as if it's like, man, every time they're around, I got to lift them up. I got to pick them up. Listen, as a mature believer in Christ, pick them up and encourage them. But then tell them, you got to stop thinking that way. You got to listen. Did you ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you? Well, you know what? Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? Yes. Well, then walk that way. Be encouraged today. Quit looking at yourself that way. Quit thinking that way. So if you are a mature believer in Christ, help someone up. Don't just be like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be you today. No, they need encouragement, but they also need instruction. The same kind of instruction the Holy Spirit gave to you, you can in love encourage and instruct them. This leads me to my second point. Holy Spirit helps us to experience the spiritual and supernatural. Let's go to the next slide. He helps us to experience the spiritual. Not the fleshly, not the things of this world. We read a scripture where it says that the world doesn't understand the peace that Jesus gives. The world doesn't understand Holy Spirit because the world doesn't see Holy Spirit. The world can't comprehend Holy Spirit. But man, we can learn a lot about God, a lot about his son, Jesus Christ, and a lot about the Holy Spirit. But you know what? The important thing is that we just don't learn about, but we get to experience. This is why this morning, like Shannon said, it must have been difficult. And I really, in the back of my mind at one point, for like, I was going to say a second, all right, but for about 5-10 seconds, I was thinking, open your eyes and see who's twiddling with their thumbs, looking around, looking at the lights, looking out the window, and to see how many people really couldn't sit for 7 minutes with their eyes closed or focused on the Lord. Listen, if that was you, can I challenge you and encourage you to do it sometime this week? Turn everything off. Go somewhere quiet. Close your eyes and spend 5 minutes. Because that was about 7 minutes this morning. I think 7 minutes. But spend five? You can't do seven. I mean, start somewhere. Start somewhere to where you just, Lord, I'm just going to sit quiet. I'm going to turn my phone. No, I'm not going to pick up my phone. No, I just heard a notification. I'm not going to answer it. Lord Jesus, I'm focusing on you. And just be quiet. Turn your phone off. Just be quiet and just listen. Do that for 5 minutes. Listen, the more you do that, the more it's going to get from where it's going to be 5 minutes to an hour. Just like praying. If you cannot take, if you cannot handle praying after, I've had this happen too, after 10 minutes, you know, because I've gone through everything. I've gone through all the countries in the world. I've gone through everything and I've prayed and it's already 6 minutes. You know, if you know what? Keep doing that. The more you talk to God about situations in your life and situations in other people's lives, situations in the world, sooner or later, the more you do that, it'll get to where it's an hour, 2 hours, and you're spending time in prayer. I say an hour because, I'm, like I mentioned before, Jesus came back to his three disciples that he pulled closer with him or farther from the others to go pray. Jesus came back and said, could you not tarry with me, what? 1 hour. So if you ever want to know how long Jesus would like for you to pray, doesn't have in Scripture, but there's three disciples that fell asleep and he says, could you not stay awake and watch for 1 hour? So shoot for that, 1 hour. So we can learn a lot about God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son, and Holy Spirit. Even to the point where we receive a degree or a doctorate, I believe that people can have a lot of knowledge of God and have a lot of book knowledge of Holy Spirit and who Jesus is and what he said and maybe come up with an essay. But if you have not experienced, if you're not walking in the experience of who God is, of who Jesus is as Lord and Savior, and of who Holy Spirit is as your advocate and comforter and teacher, it's more important that we get to experience Holy Spirit. I want to share what Doug Clay, our superintendent, said about Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit is best understood when experienced. You can learn a lot. Matter of fact, as an illustration, everybody look around. And if I can just have one person shout out a name of somebody that's here.
Chanel.
Chanel. All right. Thank you for shouting out Chanel. Now, you can know about Chanel. You can know that, you know, her boys, they're sitting right over here. You can know the color of her car. If you wait long enough and wait for her to drive home, you can know about that. But you know what? You're not going to know her likes. You're not going to know some quirks about her. You're not going to know what kind of coffee she really likes to drink. You're not going to know, you know, what's really going on with her unless you get to know her personally. Unless you take time, sit down, have some coffee, or just hang out and hear some stories. Unless you ask her how she came to know the Lord. Unless you ask her and you have that experience of maybe one-on-one or a group conversation, you get to hear about her. Now, I don't want to, for the sake of not hurting anybody's feelings, but if you look around, there's some people that are not here tonight. And I don't want to, you know, make them feel bad. But what if they only came once a month and that's it? It'd be very difficult. And that's the only time you saw them was once a month. They live here in Camden County, but you only saw them once a month. It would be difficult to get to know. I can know about them, how many kids they have, if they're married or not married, what color is their vehicle when they come to the church or when they leave. I can know about them. I can know where they live, but how do I get to know and experience them if I don't spend time with them? You see, you can know about Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus talks about him in John chapter 14. The pastor was preaching on this, and Holy Spirit does this, and Jesus said Holy Spirit will come, and he'll come and stay with you forever. I can know a lot about that, but if you get to experience the Holy Spirit, that is more important. That is important. So the Holy Spirit helps us to walk and experience the spiritual and the supernatural. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who's him? God. It is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You see, to please God, it requires for you and I to become active in knowing him. Active in knowing him, not just a passive or no action, not just a passive understanding where I just get to read about him, but I don't get to walk with him. I don't get to have time with him. I don't get to just be quiet and listen to him. One time I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, hey, you know, I had this picture in my head one time and praying and talking to God, and there's a location that I want to go to. It's one of my bucket list places. But anyway, it's a place that I would like to go to, and it's on a cliff. And I just pictured myself there with God. And the Holy Spirit kind of showed me a picture that that place is all run over with vines and high, tall grass, and it's just, there's cobwebs, and to kind of give me a picture of, you haven't been there. You haven't been back there. And I thought, oh man, I just began to repent and say, God, forgive me. Forgive, I haven't tended to that area. I haven't been there. If you haven't been into a room in a while, if you haven't been into a side of the attic of your house for a while, or even a part of your yard for a while, at time it kind of gets to get overrun by grass and vines and weeds and maybe cobwebs. And the Lord showed me, and it's like, man, I can know about him, but spending time with him is important. Spending time with him is important. So I can just know about him, but it's experiencing God. Passive means not involving visible reaction or active participation. People can have their name on a member list, and that's it. But you won't get to know them. You won't get to bless them. And in return, they won't get to bless you, which is something important that they have to learn. But they can just come and just have their name on a member list. Having your name on a member list will not get you to heaven. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ, an active relationship with Jesus, an ongoing relationship. So here in Hebrews 11:6, it even talks about to be rewarded by God requires us to become diligent in seeking him. And that's not diligent in just reading what's in this book, the Bible. It's about experiencing. It's about talking with him. It's about waiting for him to talk back to you. That's called communication, and actually hearing what he has to say and then doing what he's telling you to do. Again, not just knowing about him, but knowing him intimately, knowing him daily. The disciples and new believers of Jesus Christ not only became acquainted with Holy Spirit, but we got a whole book about what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them and they were filled, overflowing with the Holy Spirit. It's called the Acts of the Apostles. We find how Holy Spirit taught them, how the Holy Spirit corrected them, how the Holy Spirit directed them. Paul wanted to go somewhere, but he couldn't because the Holy Spirit said, and he didn't go. So it's important that we get to experience. It's never sufficient to simply describe the Holy Spirit. You need to experience the Holy Spirit. Another quote from our superintendent, Doug Clay. You see, the Spirit will never be fully known by simply reading about him. We have to talk with him. We have to allow him to pray through us. There are times I don't know how to pray for y'all. There are times I don't know how to pray for your families. I don't know how to pray for this church. I don't know how to pray for the future of this church. And I just begin to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I begin to see things, another building, a bigger sanctuary, that youth hall wiped out because we have a gymnasium. There's a place for youth to gather. I mean, I just have these things. I just begin to pray in the Spirit. Allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you is important. You see, the Spirit wants to walk with us. He wants to have fellowship with us. And this leads me to my last point. Holy Spirit helps us fellowship in righteousness. You see, it was Jesus who said that he was going to not leave us comfortless as orphans. And I'm so thankful that Jesus saw that I needed Holy Spirit so bad. He said, he ain't leaving you. He's going to be with you forever. He will dwell in you. And then because of Scripture, the Spirit, new living water, will flow out of me. I'll be full of the Holy Spirit, overflowing. See, the Holy Spirit is the third person, the Trinity, and our relationship with him is vital for Christian living. Romans chapter 8, verse 9, in the New Living Translation says this, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if, underline that, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. Remember, those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to them at all. It's important that we be reminded of this. You ever wonder, when I read Acts chapter 8 verse 1, why God doesn't want us to feel like we are condemned, or that to feel that we're in condemnation? In a righteous relationship and fellowship with the Father, there's no room for condemnation. There's no room for, oh, woe is me. When God's word says that he is our glory and the lifter of our head. when he has given us the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So why wallow? Why walk around with your head to the ground? Lift up your eyes, for there comes your help. Almighty God has given us the third part of the Holy Trinity to dwell with us forever. So having relationship or fellowship with God is important to him. Because he says, I'm going to give you my Spirit to walk with you, to talk with you, to teach you, to correct you, to encourage you as he reminds you of what I said. Holy Spirit helps us to have fellowship in righteousness. Having fellowship, this kind of fellowship is valuable. It's difficult to have a joyful moment when someone who's in the ship, I didn't have time to make a slide, but fellowship, just picture a ship. It's difficult to have joy in that ship when there's a person who is always down and out and so melancholy and nothing can encourage them. I know someone that when I see that they are like that, I just have to pray. Because anything I try to say in encouragement, pull, it's like skeet shooting, pull, you know, they shoot it out of the sky. So it's like in that moment, something good or something positive, I just start praying. I just have to pray. I have to pray because I don't know what else to do, because every time I give an encouragement or something positive, they want to shoot out. They want. So it's difficult. So what do I do? And I'm not sure if you've ever been there, and I'm not sure if that's you who is always so melancholy. But while we are in this relationship, we are in this ship with God. God wants us to look to him, to know who we are, to know who he wants us to be. Not guilty, but free. Not unworthy, but so worthy that he sent his son to die for us. Not, you know, trash and unimportant, if unimportant is a word, but that we would see ourselves how he sees us. His vessels that he wants to fill himself with to bring glory and honor to him, but more importantly, to bring the lost to Jesus. This is why God doesn't want us. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation. Now, I'm not sure when God was telling the writer to write this, if it was like, you know, salt, you know, real stern. For the sake of the microphone, I'll just move it over here. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I wondered if that was, you know, the emphasis. He wants his children to allow the circumstances of their past, not to allow the circumstances of their past to keep them from walking in the joy of forgiveness and reconciliation with him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3, but you must choose to accept his forgiveness and then live as forgiven people. The Spirit draws us to Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about the sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. New Living Translation. And this is why we're not supposed to look at ourselves as that. Did Jesus forgive us? Did Jesus set us free? Yes, yes. Then quit looking at the back and look at who God wants you to be. Look at what God has for you. See, freedom is strengthened by our daily experiences with the Spirit. Another quote from Doug Clay. I'm giving him a lot of props here because I didn't want to make you guys think that I came up with this. But freedom is strengthened by your daily experiences with the Spirit. Understand, it says daily experiences with the Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Yes, somebody you work with or someone that drives by, you may think that you're weird because you're talking to yourself and the windows are rolled down and they're hearing what you're saying. But you know what? Let it be. You're talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, hey, you don't want to listen to me? You know, leave me alone. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, the New Living Translation. As a matter of fact, I think it's just verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. Listen, the believers of the early church were in unity. They met together for the benefit of encouraging one another and supporting one another. This is what the Holy Spirit does for us. And this is what we ought to do for one another. So this is why it is important that we attend church. It's important that we gather. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves one with another, as so much more as you see the day approaching. Anybody see that day, capital D, day, approaching? It's happening. It's going to happen. So you know what? So much more as we see the day approaching, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves. Listen, if your feet are getting stepped on, I'm sorry, but I'm just speaking what God's word says. This is how we encourage one another. And it's difficult for me to encourage you if you're only here one time a month, two, three times a month. Understand that the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in freedom. Holy Spirit helps us to experience the spiritual and supernatural. And Holy Spirit, I lost my notes here. And Holy Spirit helps us to fellowship in righteousness. Holy Spirit maintains every believer to remain in unity with the Father, the Son, and every believer. To reveal the deep mysteries of God that are found in His Word. To pass on to us those things which came from Jesus. Because Jesus did say, the Holy Spirit will relay stuff that is of mine to you. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll pass on to those things which come from Jesus. Holy Spirit will help us to keep us in step with the Father and the Father's plan for our lives, for righteous living. My last verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. This is, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of Holy Spirit be with you all. Understand that. He says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Fellowship of the Spirit? What are you talking about, fellowship of the Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit wants fellowship, wants friendship with each of us. Wants to talk with us all the time. I mean, He's going to be with us forever, so why not? Hey, I'm going to be here forever. Why not have a relationship? Why not when I talk to you, you actually listen and receive? Because what I'm telling you doesn't come from me. It comes from the authority of Almighty God. So what I'm relaying to you comes from God the Father. What I'm giving you comes from what Jesus wants you to have. So why don't you just receive it? Obey in obedience. Apply it to your life. So that we can become efficient followers of Christ. He is a catalyst for helping us understand that God is not some distant deity that we can't connect with Him. But He wants a personal, intimate friendship, fellowship with you, with me. He's always wanted this. And tonight we get to comply with the desires of Jesus Christ found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. The writer of this book, of this letter, is Paul. And Paul says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Listen, for those of you that are watching online, we're about to partake of communion. And you have some time to get a cracker, a piece of bread, and something to drink with. But understand this, it is possible for any one of us today, and anyone that's watching, to do this just a mundane thing. Hey, I always do this. We need to examine our hearts. Why are we doing this? You see, I'm doing this and partaking of this because I believe what Jesus did on the cross for me. He paid the debt for my sin, a debt that I could never pay. And God on the third day raised Him from the dead. And I truly believe that. And I've surrendered my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I partake of this communion, I'm saying, God, You are mine. Jesus, You are my Lord and Savior, and I am surrendered unto You. And I take this because I can't wait for Your return.